Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Romans chapter 8, we'll start there. Just a quick reminder for all the men, this Friday at 5:30 in the morning, that's right, 5:30 a.m., amen, we're going to have a men's discipleship. Coffee and donuts are going to be provided. It's going to be an excellent time. And we just challenge the men to come out and be a part of what God's going to do in that. Also, Friday night, breakaway. How many excited about breakaway? 7 o'clock, you don't want to miss that. So just a reminder of breakaway on Friday night. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 5. I want you to see this. How many want to please God? I believe that somebody that is genuinely saved, that's always on their mind. How can I please God? Amen? It's the total opposite of self and pleasing self. It's how can I glorify God in how I live, how I speak, what I do. And I want you to see something here that's pretty powerful. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh..." Let me just pause right there, because some might not be very familiar with that word flesh. Flesh is anything that we desire that's not of God. It's having an appetite for the things of the world, if you will. Having an appetite for the things that don't please God. There's a lot of things that we can call the flesh. Amen? And so he's saying here, those who live according to the flesh, or the things of the world, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. If you live by the flesh, that's you constantly think about the flesh, you live by the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Everybody say life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And then it says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Anybody that's been saved for any length of time is going to find out that to live this Christian life, you're going to have to learn how to fight. We have an enemy. We have a strategy that's against us. It's a battle between the dark and the light. It's a battle between good and evil. And by being saved, by being born again, God has created in us a new being, a spirit being, and it's our responsibility to feed that spirit being, to take care of it. Amen. When I wake up in the morning, do I feed the flesh or do I feed the spirit? Do you give time to the things of God or do you give time to the things of the flesh? This goes with reading, with praying, with being in church, giving time to God. Amen. This is very important. Now let's jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verses 3 and 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." That's key. We got to hear that. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power that's not of this world, that's not something that you can produce or any other man can produce, a doctor can produce, a psychologist, there's no answer for it, but it's divine power to bring down or to destroy strongholds." Strongholds can be addictions, can be anything that takes you captive and has you bound. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Hallelujah. Now let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 20, and then I'm going to get to preaching here. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." prayers, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, here's what you need to understand, is that the Apostle Paul is writing two different groups of people, two different churches, the church that's in Corinth and the church that's in Ephesus, and they're very similar in nature in regards to the spiritual warfare, in that whether you've been saved for a short amount of time or even if you've been saved for a long time and you're spiritually mature, that does not matter. You're still going to have to fight. The difference here is that the church in Corinth is spiritually immature, whereas the Ephesians, when you read 1 through 6, you see that it's talking about how to live for God, how to live right, making the right choices for your family, for your husband, for your wife, for your marriage, for your kids. And then it comes to verse 6, and it says, listen to what I have to say. You're going to have to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles and the strategies of the devil. So it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, but he's talking to two different churches here. But here's what the thing with the Corinthians, they were a little bit different in thinking that they were spiritual. Yes, they wanted the things of God. They wanted to have the power of God, the manifestation of God, but yet they still held on to idolatry and some of these different things. So the Apostle Paul begins to deal with them about their carnality or the flesh. Much like a lot of Christians today. Amen. They think if I go to church and I do a few things right, then, you know, dabbling in this and doing this, it's not going to hurt nothing. You know, there's no harm done in listening to this type of music or going to see these types of movies or hanging around with people that live a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. And, you know, I go to church. I'm a good person. That's the mindset of the Corinthians, and that's the mindset of a lot of people today. The problem with that is any kind of entertaining the flesh breeds the fruit of sin in your life. Amen. They think that they can go to church, dabble in the world a little bit, and that the world won't hit back. Anybody ever been punched in the face? Any man ever been punched in the face by a woman? Any man ever punched that woman back? Don't raise your hand. Don't. You're saved now. You're saved. Amen. How many know getting punched in the face ain't a very nice feeling? Amen. I remember years ago, I told this story, but it's been a long time since I've told it. But back in the days when I used to hang out in the bars, see, it's hard to tell stories because sometimes there's stories that my mom hasn't heard. And since I'm her favorite child, sometimes it's real. But I was a sinner one time, and I got in a bar fight once. But the problem is, Alvin, he remembers this story. He knows. The problem is I instigated the fight. I grew beer muscles that night. How many know what beer muscles are? You get a little bit liquored up, and you think you're stronger than you are. You're tougher than anybody else that's in there. And I'm not a little guy. I'm 6'3". I put my boots and my cowboy hat on. I'm about 6'5". This guy happened to be 6'6". And, you know, I had heard, you know, just a little bit of talk. And so, you know what? I thought, you know, I'm gonna fight this guy. And I started a fight with the guy, and it ended up going outside. And people were gathering around us. And, I'm doing the Sugar Ray. I'm bouncing up and down. I'm, you know. And before I knew what hit me, that dude hit me like 3 or 4 times, roundhouse kick, kicked me straight forward in the face, punched me like 5 or 6 times. I never felt it, not once. I did not feel it at all until the next day. Next day, I was hurting. I was all swollen, black eye. Here's what I didn't know. The guy was a kickboxing instructor that was trained in how to kick butt. And that's what he did that night. He kicked my butt. And that's how a lot of Christians are when they think, you know what, I can dabble with the things of the world. I can entertain the flesh. I can go to church. I can do these things. Listen, the world will hit back. It's all fun and games until sin punches you in the face. And let me tell you something, it doesn't feel very good, amen? So here in our text, Paul's dealing with this carnal thinking, worldly thinking, and reacting with our carnal minds. And so the answer is in spiritual warfare. Every Christian has to have an understanding of what spiritual warfare is. Amen. The weapons of our warfare, the weapons, we're in a war, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty, they're divine, they're the weapons that God gives you, amen, to pull down a stronghold. He gives us an answer, and he says, take every thought captive and put on the mind of Christ. Now, I want to give you a couple of things that will help you to win the battle over the flesh. That constant pull, there's a pull of the world, there's a pull of certain things that will try and draw our attention away from the things of God. There's entertainment, there's things that appeal to our flesh in the nature of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and tobacco and whatever else there is out there. But I'm going to tell you something, you can win. Amen, you can win. As a matter of fact, it's a fixed fight, you just have to believe it. Because it's already been done, it's already been paid for at the cross of Calvary, and because, I love to say it, because he wins, we win. Can you say amen? But here's something that's very important. I've been talking with my small group about this. I've been challenging them in the disciplines, the daily disciplines that it takes to maintain a good walk with Christ. This is extremely important. It's not just something we do. And we call ourselves a Christian when we get up and we take time for God and we pull out some devotions, or we take time and we read God's word and we get down and we pray and we just find a place and we begin to pray to God, we talk to God, we lift God up, we worship God, and we establish his presence for that day. And making church a priority. These things are so important. And not only are they important just for our walk, but they're important because we're basically in training for the day that we're going to have to fight. Amen. Every boxer, every UFC fighter, anybody that's an athlete, anybody that does any kind of competition, they're constantly training and training and training, not just for themselves, but to beat the next guy. Amen. And it's the same way. We have to always be prepared. And one of these ways to be prepared when the devil comes knocking on your door, amen, is to have what I call a self-maintenance. It's taking care of these important disciplines in our Christian life. Hallelujah. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That word sober means to be self-controlled and alert to the threat of the demonic strategies. Be self-controlled. So he's conveying a message to the Corinthians, to this church. Listen, you got to be ready. You got to prepare for battles. Amen. It keeps us in tune. It keeps us ready for the next fight. Now, I don't necessarily like this word self. We're constantly praying, preaching against self. Amen. Because when we are constantly consumed with self, you've heard probably lately that you have to take care of yourself. Self-care. It's very important that you set aside time and take care of yourself. And yes, to some degree, I believe in that. But the problem is when there's too much emphasis on self, we put all our faith in what we can do and what we can get out of it. And that's a dangerous place to be, because myself, amen, has let me down a lot. But in this case, any self-maintenance or self-control is always done to the glory of God. It's a preservation of the mind. It's putting on the mind of Christ. It's self-control. Not because I'm just this amazing person. I have this ability to say no when somebody puts something in front of my face, or there's some temptation that's out there. I'm just this. No, it's only by what Jesus Christ has done in me and through me. Can you say amen? It's only by the power of God. So self-maintenance is me aligning myself with Jesus. And as I do my part, he does his. How many's ever heard of I've heard two ways of saying it, preventative care and preventive care. We hear this in the health industry quite a bit. Preventive care. Hey, when it comes to dental and taking care of your teeth, preventive care is very important. Unless you want cavities and unless you want false teeth, unless you want, amen, all kinds of problems and pains and drilling and root canals, and I don't want any of that. Amen. Brush your teeth, floss your teeth. That's called preventive care. The same goes with our physical body. Amen. If you take care of yourself and you eat the right things and you're not eating McDonald's every day and 2 liters of soda every day, but you're eating Brussels sprouts. No, you don't have to eat Brussels sprouts, but you're eating the right things. Amen. How many know what I'm saying? It's called preventive care, so you don't have high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, and heart failure down the road. And here's what a lot of people do is they don't take care of the now. They just wait until the problem comes. And that's a dangerous place to be. I remember down in Costa Rica, I don't know if they still have it like this anymore, but they have full-service gas stations. It used to be way back in the day. I don't know, maybe some of you are old enough to remember full-service gas stations. Amen. How many remember full-service gas stations? And you'd be able to pull up, and they would get the thing and pump the gas for you. You tell them how much gas you want, and they would pump it. And as the gas is pumping, they come around, they clean your windshield, they check the air in your tire, they check the oil. And if you needed oil for your car, then you could purchase it there. Nowadays, hey man, we're going on $3 a gallon. You got to pump your own gas. Nobody's checking your windshield washer fluid. I remember we had one guy in the church that bought a brand new car, and for a year and a half, he didn't put any oil in his car. I don't know if he was just ignorant or stupid. I don't know, or both, amen. And the engine blew up. Some of y'all are like, hey, as long as it runs, I'm good. And I get that, amen. But sometimes you have to do what you got to do. And some people's spiritual condition looks like a rattle trap car, or as I see it in my mind, it's a hoopty. How many remember the hoopty? Amen. It's driving down the road. Black smoke is belching out the back. It's a rattle trap car. The tires are bald. It's held together with baling wire and duct tape. I mean, you don't know if that thing is going to blow up. You don't know if it's going to get a flat tire. You don't know if it's going to make it another mile. And the reason for this is because they didn't take time to maintain it. Amen. That's how that car got like that. And so because there's self-maintenance has gone from preventing a problem to waiting until there is a problem to deal with it. Sometimes we get lazy. Amen. We get lazy. We get lazy with brushing teeth. We get lazy with our diet. We get lazy with our finances. We get lazy with all kinds of things. Can you say amen? I know y'all are just a bunch of perfect people in this place. That's why I love preaching to you. Amen. But spiritually speaking, amen, sometimes we can get so out of tune and our thought life becomes this. When you think of a garden that's been cultivated and taken care of, and if we let it go, the weeds come in and they begin to choke out the good things. And I guarantee you, if you're not doing self-maintenance in your thought life, you'll bring in thoughts that will bring in decay, and they'll erode your Christian walk. Preventative care, amen. God wants us to be proactive and not reactive. If you're taking notes tonight, the second thing that I want you to consider with me is we're going to have to learn how to fight. And in our small group, we have people that have been saved less than a year, all the way up to guys like Sam Kano, Nathan Dempsey. I love the group that we have, because we have people that have been saved a long time. We got others. Everybody brings something to the table, and everybody shares something, and I love that. But we can learn from those that have fought before. No fighter or boxer or athlete learns to fight without a trainer. And yes, the Holy Spirit can be your trainer. Amen. We had one guy say, I would have the no man teach me but the Holy Ghost. In other words, he wouldn't take correction or discipline from one of our leaders or one of our pastors in the church. I have no man to teach me but that of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost will teach you, but God also will put men and women and leaders in your life for this very reason. This is so important. And the reason for this is one word, and that's perspective. Amen. The coach of a Super Bowl team, the coach of a championship college basketball team or NBA team or a boxer or UFC, what they have that the athlete doesn't have is they have perspective. They see it differently than what that athlete sees. If that boxer gets in there, and that boxer could be Mike Tyson, it could be Floyd Mayweather, it could be any boxer, and they know how to box. They know how to dodge. They know how to throw combos. They know how to throw an uppercut. They know when to bob and weave and all that stuff. And they might be really good, but they might get in a ring and the coach sees something that they don't see. And if the coach doesn't correct it and they don't listen to it, they're going to get knocked out. It's that perspective that is going to help us learn to fight. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, as I mentioned before, he's talking about spiritual warfare, but he's talking about a different group of people. It's not the carnal Christians of Corinth, but rather here in Ephesus, here's a group that's committed themselves to growing in Christ and becoming mature, and so they have this different perspective. We should all be growing, amen. We're all in this perpetual state of spiritual growth. Nobody's better than anybody else, amen. As a matter of fact, instead of being puffed up over having a lot of knowledge of the Bible, what we ought to be doing is fighting alongside those that need help and bring yourself down here. Amen. Bring yourself down here. Amen. I had titled this message, Winning the Fight Over Carnality. I thought, man, that just sounds real spiritual. Doesn't it sound? That sounds so good. Then I said, you know what? Maybe we should just say winning the fight over the flesh and then explain what the flesh is. Amen. That's Jesus, when he shared the gospel, he shared it in layman's terms. Can you say amen? And the Bible says that the poor heard him gladly. Amen. So nobody's better than anybody else. And here's what I think that's amazing. We got an excellent, excellent, not to embarrass him, but Pastor Jones is an excellent coach. And I don't say that. But I say that because there's been many times, just as Dave was saying just a few minutes ago, he got up here and he said, I remember long ago when Pastor Jones said that. Every person in here can say, I remember when Pastor Jones said this, something and it stuck. Well, he has a revelation and a depth, and many of you do too as well. Amen. As I said, there's different levels of growth. And he has a depth that to me, it just boggles my mind sometimes how he gets these revelations. And he'll say, I was reading this morning. My dad's been cutting my hair for a long time. I'm not going to tell you. For 40-something years. Amen. I still get my hair cut from my dad. I've got pictures from when I was just a little guy, just a little kid sitting there. And there's my dad cutting my hair. Gets out the clippers. I like getting a haircut from him for two reasons. Number one, they're free. Haircuts are like $30-something dollars in some places for men. It's outrageous. I mean, he's saving me a lot of money. Secondly, I get to listen to him talk, and I get to spend time with him as my father, and I cherish that. I'm grateful that I have that because I've heard stories from other men. Hey, you know, you ought to be grateful for your dad, and I'm grateful for my dad. I am. But as also on the level of pastor and to hear the revelation and the depth when he says, you know what, I was reading this morning, and then he begins to share, and I'm just like, man, it's amazing. Can you say amen? And the reason he can do that is because he himself has fought a lot of battles. Every war-hardened general is going to have some battle scars. Can you say amen? And so Pastor's spiritual perspective comes from his spiritual growth. And on the same token, as we grow and we win battles and we begin to fight and we find out, you know what, I got the victory over that. Yes, that used to be a terrible temptation, but thank God I got the victory over the flesh. God help me. I won. I beat it. We move on to the next battle. And let me tell you something, 20 years into it, we were talking about this in small group. It never stops. But as you get older and you grow and you mature and you have experience and you've fought 40 fights in the ring like some of these guys, amen, you have what's called an advantage. And you have the Holy Spirit, amen. And Jesus said, I go away and it's to your advantage that I send the Holy Spirit. We have an advantage with every fight that we win, amen. And what happens is we gain new perspective and we become the coach for somebody else, and that's what's called discipleship. And we gather around our table at Starbucks, as a small group, and you would not believe the stuff that I hear from Rich. You would not believe the stuff that I hear from Brian and some of these other guys. And it's like, you know, iron truly does sharpen iron. And it blesses you, and it's amazing, amen. We can help each other, amen. And I'm thankful for people that say, you know what, Pastor Dustin, I got your back. I got your back, amen. Not with the sharp blade, amen. But you know what, you're going to fight back to back with me, and we're going to fight together, amen. Praise God. I'll finish with this. We can have each other's back. Pastor can have our back. Leaders can have our back. We can learn how to fight. All this is, we need all that, spiritually speaking, to push back the gates of hell. We need that. But one thing we can never forget is that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I got your back. He's there. Even when you don't feel like he's there, even when you feel like you don't deserve him to be there, he's got your back. I remember hearing the story of this one guy that broke into this house late at night and began to crawl through the kitchen and was making his way through, about to steal a bunch of stuff, and he hears this voice, and it says, Jesus is going to get you. And he looks up, and he can see with the light coming in through a window is a doggone parrot. Yeah, stupid parrot. And he began to crawl a little bit more, began to put stuff in his bag, and that parrot yelled out again, Rock, Jesus is going to get you. He was getting frustrated. He was getting mad. He's like, that stupid parrot better shut up. I'm going to wring that parrot's neck. Somebody's going to wake up, goes about stealing this stuff, and that parrot says again a little bit louder, Jesus is coming to get you. And he said, that's it. And he turns on the light, and just below the parrot's cage is a Doberman pincher. And the parrot says, sick him, Jesus. Jesus has got your back, amen? See, you knew I was going to throw a joke in there somewhere. Man, Jesus knows how to fight. He's acquainted with your burden, with your struggle. He knows all about it. Amen. He took that sin upon his life, that addiction, that drug addiction, that proclivity that drives you to that thing. Let me tell you something. God knows about it. He's felt it, and he's there for you. He's a fighter. Amen. Let me tell you something. CrossFit, amen. And a lot of you don't even know what CrossFit is, or you've heard of CrossFit. It's this phenomenon that's across the world, and the fittest man in the world, his name is Matt Frazier. Some of you may have heard of him. Let me tell you something. Jesus invented CrossFit. Long before anybody picked up a barbell or did a burpee, Jesus was carrying a cross up a hill that nobody else could carry up. Amen. Long before Greg Glassman, he's the founder of CrossFit, long before he discovered this and put this together, amen, CrossFit. That was Jesus' idea. Amen. That was God's idea. Amen. And when Jesus comes on the scene, let me tell you something. Think about this. I'm going to tell you, Matt Frazier couldn't have lasted 40 days in the desert and then gone three rounds with the devil. But Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he's baptized in the water. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says immediately he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. 40 days. Think about that. He's physically, he's spent. He's emotionally, I can only imagine mentally what's going on in his mind. But let me tell you something. One thing that the devil did not account for was spiritually, he was stronger than ever, and he was ready to whip the devil's butt. Satan comes along, he tempts him, he lies to him, he attacks his identity, he manipulates the scriptures, and Jesus, round after round, goes at it with the devil, and he triumphs over him in a magnificent way, and he taps him out. Come on, all you UFC fans, he taps him out, amen. And the ultimate defeat for Satan and for sin, for your sin, for all the sin of humanity was when he died and he laid his life down on the cross for you. And when he uttered those words, it is finished. The debt was canceled. It was paid. It was done. It was done for you. It was done for me. And I love what Pastor Marshall always says, amen, we win. We win. Because he wins, we win. Amen. And you can win over that thing in your life. Paul's telling the church in Ephesus, and he's telling us today, listen, yes, you're going to have mountaintops. Yes, there's going to be blessings. There's going to be great times. There's nothing better than being saved and living for God. There isn't. It's anybody that's been genuinely saved, it's indescribable. You can't put words to it to describe how wonderful it is to be saved. But listen, Paul's saying, yes, there's mountaintops, but there's going to be dark times. There's going to be valleys. There's going to be times of confusion. There's going to be times when you're wondering, where is God? Why doesn't God show up? Why doesn't God answer? Why doesn't God do this for me? And here he's saying, that's when you got to get down in the trenches. You got to get down on your knees and you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to contend for God to move. You got to put faith into action. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, your fight is his fight. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's where our strength comes from tonight. I try and do it myself. I do. It's like a rubber band. I always snap back to trying to come up with a solution in my own mind. Then I think, you know what? This ain't for me to fix. I can't do it. That's why I'm so frustrated, because I'm trying to find the answer with this and not with this. We need to live by faith. Live by faith. Trust in God and let God fight our battles for us. But we got to be fighters, church. Amen. When we look in the world, we think of people that can fight as somebody that's got muscles or somebody that has technique and training and all this. But I mean, some of our best fighters when it comes to church are some of the meekest, smallest grandmas and mamas, amen, and men, amen, that will give their time and find a corner, find a place down by their bed and do business with God and begin to fight. And that's how you're going to make it. That's how you're going to survive. That's how you're going to pull down strongholds in your life and overcome the devil. And the devil won't get the victory, but you'll get the victory, amen. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. Just for a few minutes in reverence to God. I love that. We win. We win. You know, as we come together in our small group, and I can't remember how many small groups we have, but we have a lot of people that are involved in small groups. I encourage you. You just have no idea the benefit that there is in being in a small group. It's a totally different atmosphere and environment. Every week we come together, we pray for each other. And you know, every week it's a different prayer request. It's a different battle. And we share our heart. You know, I'm going through this. You know, I need help in this. I need an answer for this. And we believe God. Everybody's going through something. That's what I realized. You know what? People aren't concerned with your problems. They got problems of their own. We always think, I wonder what people think of me, and I wonder what they think of this and that. You know what? They got problems of their own. And we're real people with real problems. And yes, we serve a real God. And he's a God that can help you tonight. And he loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. All over this place with every head bowed, every eye closed. You're not saved. Your heart's away from God. Maybe you've known God, but you know you've slipped up and you've failed. And God's calling you home. He loves you. He loves you. Tonight's the night. Don't put off tomorrow what can be done today. And you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, or you have sin in your life that's not pleasing to God. You've given yourself over to flesh and to the appetite of the world. And it's not that you don't love God. It's just that you've opened the door to some things, and you're realizing that these things are starting to choke out the things of God. Tonight's the night to get that right. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let the Holy Ghost speak to your heart. He's there not to smack you, not to beat you down. He's there to lift you up and to help you. Let's get our heart right tonight with God. Let's get our heart right with God. All over this place, you want to be saved. You want to rededicate your life. You want to take that step to live for God. If that's you, quickly put up your hand and put it right back down in this place quickly. God bless you. God bless you. How many more? You say, that's me. I need God. I need an answer tonight. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need forgiveness for this thing that's been luring me, it's been like a monkey on my back. I need help tonight. If that's you, put your hand up and put it right back down. How many honest hearts? God bless you. God bless you. We're going to open up these altars. We're going to stand to our feet tonight. We won't take long, but you take as long as you need to in these altars. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to sing this song out as we begin to sing.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages, subscribe and go to our podcast channel for more episodes. If you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.